Let's pray. Father God, we come before you. We come before you with open hearts, and we pray that you open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts to your word this morning. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place with your presence. Let me speak forth only your words. Please bless us this morning as we seek to only glorify and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so thankful to be here with you this morning. And it is the 4th of July celebration this week. Do we have any service men or women or veterans here with us today? Yes? Yes. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. You know, I think we can get so caught up into the day-to-day that we forget to pause and remember those that have given their lives for our country and our freedom. And that is something that concerns me. Today is, I don't know that the generations, you know, my generation, I'm 45 now, so I'm Generation X, I guess. So even the previous generation, we don't realize the real sacrifice that has been given by our service men and women who have given their lives for our freedom. And I pray that there's not a need for that reality to be in our face again. But I also pray that the Lord will instill in our hearts the seriousness and a gratitude of heart that we need to have, not only for our country, but for the freedoms that God has given us and blessed us with. And may we continue to be a God-fearing country as well. Let's pray for that. Because, you know, a God-fearing country, you know, when this country was founded, it was on biblical beliefs and the seek to have a religious freedom that we can pray to a God and have a church and pray to God and worship God in a way that we feel led to do so. And we praise God that we still know that freedom today, because there are many persecuted in this world that they don't know that same freedom. So may we remember them as well. Paul, in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn in your Bibles with me, we will be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 in particular, and I am reading from the ESV version. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. You know, Paul often says in his words that, you know, he's asking the Corinthians, he's asking the people of the churches that he started to imitate him as he imitates Christ Jesus. So here it is significant that Paul continues this message. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for me. And if you were the only person still on earth, he would have still died just for you. You see, God thought us up, each and every one of us up, before the foundation of the world. Rick, if I might borrow you for a moment, You have a perfect illustration on. Please come forward. You see, take a little spin. We have the universe in front of us. You know, God, look at the vast array of universe here. I mean, the enormity. So if you stick, you imagine the enormity of the universe. So don't go away, still stand there. So if you all stick your thumb out right at Rick and look at your thumb, our entire universe would fit within your thumb. It is that large. Our entire universe. Thank you, Rick. God bless you. Thank you so much. And, you know, God thought up the heavens and the universe and all the planets and the stars, but his encore was thinking up you and me and all, each and every one of us. He thought us up before the foundation of the world, and he gave us a name, and he called us his own. You see, but with the creation of man and woman, of Adam and Eve, they turned against God and chose to do their own thing. And thus began the beginning of separation of us from God. But God wouldn't even stand for that. God knew this would happen. So God himself, as the Son of God, came down from the heavens and said, I will go myself and die for my beloved. I will die. I will put all of evil, all of sin, all of our mess ups onto my own body and die so that my beloved may live in eternity back with me. This is a story of reconciliation. This is a story, a love story of how much God, an everlasting, an unfathomable, enormous, almighty God loves us so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for me and for you. And when we receive that into our hearts, we find salvation. We find that we are reconciled back again with God our Father. And see, this, our story here on earth isn't what the story really is about. I look at it as we're on assignment here. You see, Jesus came and gave his life for us. That was his assignment. That was his calling. But Jesus also told his disciples, I need to go back to the Father so that I can send you a helper. I can send you the Holy Spirit he's speaking of so that you will do even greater things than I did when I was here on earth. He's speaking to us today. He's saying that same message. When we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and for you and for me, you see, it doesn't stop there. Because the story began when Jesus, 3 days later, rose from the dead and claimed victory over death, victory over the enemy, and victory over separation for those who say yes to what he is offering, salvation in him. He raised from the dead 3 days later, and his Holy Spirit will come into our hearts. Then we are now living for Christ. And that is where real life, fullness of life, begins. And that is what Paul is talking about. When you back up a little bit more, he talks about our heavenly dwelling versus our earthly dwelling. You see, our earthly dwelling, if we look at it, we are here on assignment. This is a blip of time on eternal radar screen. A blip of time on eternal radar screen. What will you do with this blip of time on this eternal radar screen? Because we're here on assignment. We've been deployed. We have been deployed for a specific purpose to serve God with just like what Paul says in verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. How are we going around being ambassadors for Christ? God making his appeal through us. You see, the Bible is not a book of rules. The Bible is a book of freedom. When we follow what is in God's word, we find a freedom because we are released from the shackles of what is holding us back on earth. We are released from the shackles of worldly ways, worldly desires, stuff that is unsustainable. You see, I know this because 17 years ago, my life was completely different than it is today. 17 years ago, I had a life by worldly standards was awesome. I had the home of my dreams. I was married to a very successful man. I was successful in my career. We had plenty of money. I could buy whatever I desired. I traveled the world. I had one-of-a-kind jewelry and evening gowns. And I mean, if I wanted it, I could have it. But I was so empty and dead inside. There was never enough. There was never enough. And if it wasn't the things that I was trying to get, it was the next position that I was trying to attain in society to matter, to mean something by my popularity or whatever it was. It's a sickness because it's never enough. You can never have enough. You can never strive or achieve enough. One day I was sitting in my room at my vanity movie star lighted mirror because I love doing my hair and makeup. And I happened to catch a glimpse of my eyes in the mirror, and it scared me because all I saw in my eyes was death. Because you see, when I couldn't buy enough or I couldn't attain or achieve enough, I turned to drugs and alcohol, thinking that might be enough. It was never, ever sustaining. And I saw this glimpse in my eyes, and it scared me because I saw an empty and a hollowness. And I heard right then in my heart, Tamara, this isn't what I created you for. Tamara, this isn't what I created you for. And that voice got my attention, and I dropped to my knees and I said, God, I want what you created me for. Whatever that is, I want it. Whatever that means, I want it. And that started me on a long road of unlearning all of the worldly ways and thinking and learning freedom. Learning what is of God and what is of the world. Learning what fullness of life is all about. You see, I prayed, but my husband did not want to follow this life that I was hoping we would both go on together. And he came home one day and said, "Either you go back to the woman I married or leave." And that was my crossroads. So I packed up what I could and I moved from Chicago, Illinois to Southern California. I had a chance to move here. I figure if I got to start over, I might as well be warm. And I started life over, and I'll tell you, it was not easy. But what I have found is when I say yes to God, even though there's kind of a freaking out inside, there's also a knowing that comes with it, that I'm on the right path and I'm doing what I need to do, and God has called me to this, and I will follow. Because you see, when we give up what we think our life should be, when we lose our life, we find it. It's so true. It's so true. I started on a path of unlearning all the worldly ways and habits and learning God's ways and the book of freedom. The freedom. This is what this is. It's a book of freedom. And now, let's see, that was 2004. So 12 years later, I went to Fuller Seminary. And yes, I did feel like it was cemetery every once in a while. They should, you know, it's because it is. That's where it was a dying of self for Tamara. You know, I did go to Fuller Seminary. It took me 5 years to get through. But look how God is. I was, you know, when you learn a new language, they say the best thing to do is move to that country. Well, I was learning a new language, and I moved, and I was immersion into seminary, and really, that's where God transformed me. And it took me 5 years to get through seminary. And it took me about 10 years total before I found my call. And it was my last year of seminary that I'm praying, God, I will do anything. Thank you for this new life you have given me, because this new life I have found is life. This new life, when we choose life in Jesus Christ, that's where we find life. I'll lay my life down right now in front of you if it's not true. It's true. You give up your life the way you think it should be and follow Christ, you will find fullness of life. It's not easy, but life is full because you're now living on purpose. My last year of seminary, I give you my life. What do you want me to do? I saw in my heart a vision of a white RV with a chapel in the back. And I thought, that's ingenious. I knew nothing about RVs, you know, but I thought, I left pretty much everything I had back in Chicago. I didn't have much, so I thought, well, I'll go RV shopping and see what this is all about. And as I started to follow what I felt God was calling me to, now, this is how I know it's from God, because Tamara in the flesh would be like, RV, are you crazy? But Tamara in the spirit, you see, God knows what will delight our hearts most. And Tamara in the spirit is like, this is the best ever. And I ended up with this RV at an RV park where I had never met these people before, but they had been praying for some sort of ministry to be started there, but they didn't know what to do. And one day I just happened to be lost and came across their RV park, went in to take a look, and they found out that I was going to be a pastor. And they're like, wait, we want to have some sort of ministry here, but we don't know what to do. Would you want to come here? You see, when we say yes to God, we just have to keep walking forward into the doors that He opens, praying, God, if this is not of You, stop me. If this is of You, confirm and affirm me. And He will. And that is where we can step forward in boldness, because I pray that prayer. I know He loves me. I know Jesus died on the cross so that I could have eternal salvation. And I know I'm here on assignment, as Paul talks about, that we are ambassadors. And I will step forward boldly in the prayer of, God, in Jesus' name, if this is not of You, stop me. And if this is of You, I'm boldly walking forward. Please affirm and confirm me. And He does it every time. God is so faithful. So don't be afraid to step out in boldness. You can say that same prayer with me. God loves you just as much as He loves me. Don't be afraid to step forward in boldness. And that is how I ended up here at this RV park in Huntington Beach, California. I have a lot more story I could share with you, and maybe one time I'll come back and I can share more with you. But just to give you the highlighted version, that's what I'm doing today, is in the back of the RV, there is a chapel. And in the front of the RV, that's where I live with my puppy, Joby. And we minister to people in the RV park. Why don't I go ahead and show you this video, and then I'll share more with you about that. I live in a fifth-wheel RV trailer with a chapel in the back. My mission? To reach unloved, desperate, de-churched, and unchurched people for Jesus here in this RV park. The people that are here because of money troubles. Some are vacationers, some are migrant workers, but no matter where they come from, divorce, addiction, job loss, foreclosure, that's what's common.
Hi, folks.
Hope for Life Chapel was started for them.
One of the things that makes this unique is the open air. We can be seen throughout the whole park. People sit and see us ministering. People come and join us.
It's a very unique ministry. I haven't seen anything like it. It's benefited me and my wife tremendously.
Through Bible studies, prayer, counseling, and group gatherings, I help these people realize that they are loved, that they have their own special God-given gift, and they can make a difference in the lives of others.
My son was a raging heroin addict. We prayed over him and sent him to rehab, and here 9 months later, he's clean and sober. What a blessing.
Of course, none of this would be possible without the local church. I am so grateful for their prayers, their encouragement, and their help.
For us at Christ Presbyterian Church, having Tamara here in Hope for Life Chapel with the people of the trailer park has created this incredible bridge between the two, where we can come and serve and they can come and be served.
Every day I see someone else that's gotten food or prayer, just whatever they need in their life.
Listening, encouraging, and sharing a love that surpasses all understanding. That's how Hope for Life Chapel reaches this RV community for Jesus. And God's not done. There's more to come. God is good. And I think, you know, some people ask, how did you end up in an RV park? And I think about it, and that, I mean, God is so good. Who do I minister to? I minister to people that have gone through divorce. I minister to people that have lost their homes due to foreclosure. I minister to people that are challenged with drug and alcohol addiction. I minister to people that are going through any sort of transition. I minister to people that, and that's just the people that live there. I minister to people that are there on vacation and they come across me and it's like they have a person that they will never see again. And it's like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. They come and they bear their entire soul in the RV chapel and they can go away a changed person because they've had somebody listen to them and share that God loves them. I minister to people that are seasonal visitors that come in every summer from the Phoenix area and from the desert they visit. And I also have people in the winter that come in from the east, and it's like a family reunion every year because I see them every year and they tell me about all the changes that has been going on in their lives. And this is all going on in the size of about your parking lot right out your door. 99 spaces with 1 to 6 people per RV. I'm trying to reach about 300, average of 300 people every day, just by walking around and trying to connect with people so that I can continue the work that Jesus started when he was here on earth. And go to our verse. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Because every person I come in contact with, I am inviting them into a life to where they will know fullness of life, to where they will know the truth and the freedom and the fullness of life only found through Jesus Christ. And that is what I invite you into. Where is God leading you to step out boldly in your lives and as a church? You know, there's an RV park right down the road I've been eyeing. There's a lot of long-termers there. I feel like RV living, I sit here and I'm just enamored with God because of the timing. We are on the cusp of a whole wave. All the baby boomers, everybody's getting RVs to live in now. The millennials, it's the tiny house generation where everybody and everybody's living on the internet. How do we offer a rootedness to people in a society that no longer favors rootedness? We need ambassadors for Christ out these doors, out in the communities, sharing a love and a life that is only found in Jesus Christ. And it's up to you. It's up to me. You see, this is where we come and we get nourished. And we encourage one another. This, on Sundays, we come and we get fired up. And then when we exit that door, we are on assignment as ambassadors for Christ. Will you do this with me? Will you live a life that God has called you to? Because that's where fullness of life is. Let's pray. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for allowing us the honor and privilege to humbly receive what you have given us so freely. And that is the life of your Son, Jesus, who died for us in our place so that we may be reconciled with you. We love you, Lord, and we serve you with all that we are and all that we have. Please help us to step forward boldly into who you have called us to be, for that is where life is. In Jesus' name, amen.